Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast, continuing this week with a message that is absolutely necessary for the church to be glorious and enjoy the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we must have in this day. How to walk in love.
I do work for Brother Lester Sumrall right along. And of course, he's a protege of Smith Wigglesworth. Now, the book I'm doing for Brother Sumrall right now, you're going to want it. And it is named Faith to Change the World. And he believes we can change it. And you're going to be challenged to faith farther. I tell you, I've done a lot of books on faith. This is different than anything I've ever done. It's faith from another aspect. But the same kind of faith that got him around the world on $12 and lived in 100 countries in the world and never been sick and walking like he is. And I mean, it'll challenge you, Brother Lester Sumrall said, no man, not Moses, not Abraham, not no man has ever gone to the end of what he could have done in faith in God. And you're going to be challenged far out there. Far beyond anything you've been challenged before. But then he's going to come right back in there and hammer it to you and hammer it to you and hammer it to you that it's a life. And you'll not walk in that kind of faith without living that kind of a life. See, we wanted to have the one without the other. It won't work. So Smith Wigglesworth was his teacher. Pretty good teacher, huh? Glory to God. He tells about the first time he met Smith Wigglesworth. He was a young man. He was a young preacher, 20 years old, I think. 22, 20, something around there. And he said, we were preaching in the same convention. Of course, he was thrilled that Wigglesworth was going to hear him, you know. Wigglesworth was in his 80s. As soon as Brother Lester got through preaching, Brother Wigglesworth walked up to him, and he didn't say that was a good job or anything like that. He said, you need to come and see me. Brother Lester said, I'd been in the principal's office before. I knew what was coming. Of course, he dressed all up the best he could to get to Smith Wigglesworth's house. He went to the house, knocked on the door, had a little hat on, had a little suit on, Brother Lester did, had a newspaper under his arm, a little umbrella. Met by the door, first thing Wigglesworth says, what's that under your arm? He said, pardon? What's that under your arm? He said, that's a newspaper. He bought it to look good, you know. Stick it under there. He said, you can come in. That thing has to stay outside. He said, why? He said, it's full of lies. He said, Mussolini and Hitler will soon be in hell. I don't want those lies in my house. Well, now, I'm not against newspapers. Brother Lester reads newspapers. I've done books for him. He's got clippings from newspapers in his files. But we're not saying that. But we're just saying that with Wigglesworth, he kept, this is what Brother Lester said, he kept a clean house. He kept a clean life. He said, Brother Sumrall went to visit him dozens of times. And he said, he'd always do this right when I came in the door. He put his big old arms around me. He was 80, some years old. Little Lester was in the middle. Wigglesworth was a great big man. And he'd start hopping all over the house. And he'd hop and jump all over the house, praising God. With an 80-year-old man, with a 20-year-old man in his arms, hopping, jumping all over the house, praising God, glory to God. Lester said he'd shook me till everything in me would be shook. He'd sit me down the chair. He said, here's the scripture you need. He'd open the scripture, he'd read him a whole chapter. Then he'd say, you need prayer. He'd lay his hands on him and pray. Then he'd say, here's another scripture you read. He'd read him another whole chapter. Then he'd say, if you've got all the gifts of the Spirit operating in you, of course you don't, I can tell you don't. And he'd lay his hands on him again. Lester said, I never had said a word. Not one word. And the daughter would say, lunch is ready. And they'd go at lunch, and he said, I'd be so dizzy, they'd have to almost leave me the table. Wigglesworth walked with God. And then he said, when we finished the meal, he'd say, well, we fed our bodies, we're going to feed our spirits now. He said, read us another chapter, and he says, time for you to go now. Here's your hat and coat. Out the door. Now, here's something I wanted to get to. Brother Sumrall said, if you said one word about another person in Smith Wigglesworth's house, he'd ask you to leave. He says, get out of my house, please. Open the door, out you go. He said, if you were in another place with Wigglesworth and you said something against anybody in his presence, he would forcibly grab you by your arms, jerk you to your knees on the floor, and he'd go with you. He'd cry out before God, dear God, forgive this man. So he could have the power to raise 15 people from the dead because he wasn't going to bless that power anybody to death with it. God showed me one time, he said, there is not an angel who's assigned to follow my children around, turning up and down the power, depending on their mouths and their love walk. He said, there's not one that follows you around when you're being real nice in church and preaching. There's not one that says, power up! And then when you step off the platform and bless your wife or bless your husband, or bless the fellow preacher that says, power down. There's not one that goes, power up, power down, power up, power down. And it takes power. God's creative power to make your confessions work. And there are reasons why things aren't coming to pass for people. Oh, we're going to learn some things about words in these last hours. We're going to learn that our mouths were created to speak the Word of God, to bring things into being. That's why he said, don't speak idle words. I want to fill your mouth with power. So, hallelujah, I know by the Spirit of God that we're going to, if you want to be able to stand the greatest degree of God's power, and you want to pray down the reins, and God wants you to. You want them on your life, and you want them in your services, and you want them wherever you are, then you're going to have to govern yourself to walk in love. If Wigglesworth could do it, you could do it. If any man on earth ever did it, you can do it. So the rest of this session will be called How to Walk in Love. It's real easy. God gave you the equipment to do it. It isn't even hard. So easy to walk in love, isn't it, Mrs. Kane? I know it is because she does it, that little 79-year-old lady. She's a prayer warrior with God right down here on the front. If you were smart, you'd find out everything she knows. But that'd wear her out, so... How to walk in love. So just get you a little card out or something like this. Write these steps down. How to walk in love. This will make you the candidate for the power. How many want the power? How many don't care anything about it at all? You just want to keep on walking in the flesh and honoriness. How to walk in love. Number one, you must be born again. Only those who are born again can do it. You cannot walk in the love that handles the power, for we're talking about God's love. Natural human love can't handle this power. Natural human love is selfish. Natural human love says, my grandmother said it like this, every old crow thinks her crow's the blackest. You know, that's how mamas are. I have to watch myself. We've got four children, two boys, two girls. I get to thinking there are no boys good enough for those girls and no girls quite good enough for those boys. So I have to watch myself. And their daddy's worse than me. So I have to watch him. That's natural human love. You ought to see my kids. And then you ought to see my granddaughter. Woo! See, that's natural human love. Natural human love can turn to hate. Natural human love falls madly in love and gets married. 6 months later, gets a divorce. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. So step two for you would be know Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Man, we're not going to leave him out. You're not going to do it without him. You can't do it without him. But we got him. We're not without him. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That verse means that the day you were born again, the Holy Ghost inside your spirit shed abroad the love of God. The agape of God that it takes to walk in love and handle the power, you got it on the day you were born again. How many here has got it? Boy, you're a walking container of it. Isn't that wonderful? You're a love person. Turn to 1 John. 1 John, I got a new Bible and I don't have my verses much yet. First, so I have to hunt them. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 14, we'll go back to it. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we've got this love. That's the sign. That's how we can tell that we've been born again. We know we've passed from death, the kingdom of the devil and darkness, into life because we got this agape. It got shed abroad in us by the Holy Ghost. That's how we can tell. Now, if this is the way you can tell that you've passed from death into life because you...
This is Billy Brim. We so want you to know how to walk in love that we're offering again what we did last week, a book by Kenneth E. Hagin. He's the best on how to walk in love. The book is called Love the Way to Victory, and we will give it to you for $7. And then my tape, How to Walk in Love, how I learned how to walk in love. It's even funny. You'll laugh, you'll cry, but you'll hear how I did it to learn to save my marriage, really. So we have those things for you. That will be $5. You can have the book for $7. You can have the tape for $5, or you can have both of them for $10. Give it away if you already have one of the two. Just call us at Billy Brim. Write us at Billy Brim Ministries, Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or phone us at 1-800-972-3447. I want to invite you to be with us for our eschatology seminar. There's still time for you to call and register. So many things are happening prophetically, and we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about it in the prophets, especially the book of Ezekiel. 1-800-972-3447 or billybrim.org. This is Billy Brim saying shalom.